Our message today is based on a reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. And the first lines are something I think about you all the time. I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because I hold you in my heart, for all of you are my partners in God's grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the tender affection of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Thank you, God, for helping us grow, sow, and know, and become a harvest pleasing unto you. In the 1950s and 60s, who didn't have a bowl filled with fake fruit sitting in the middle of their dining room table? My family did. You didn't? Well, there were grapes and oranges and apples and bananas in that bowl, and I still have the bowl. The fruit was very obviously fake because you can't leave real fruit lying around. That attracts those annoying little fruit flies. Also, when I was a kid, I collected these plastic fruit-shaped containers that were full of powdered Kool-Aid. They came in a wonderful variety too, grapes again, as well as strawberries and lemons and limes and pineapples. We often talk about the fruits of the Spirit, which, of course, as we have heard before, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I would add honesty, truth, meekness, hospitality, welcome, assurance and reassurance, and encouragement. These fruits continue to grow in us as we go on our Christian journey until we finally present them to God as a harvest of righteousness. In last week's sermon, I mentioned briefly that harvest of righteousness that awaits us. So I wanted to expound on that concept a little bit. To begin, I needed to ask the question I'm sure you all are asking: what is righteousness? I love to go to a site called BibleGateway.com and put in a word like righteousness and see what verses contain that word. I also Googled it, although I doubted a reverent and different Google could define a theological term properly. The definition said, righteousness is a foundational concept in the Bible, reflecting God's character and his expectations for humanity. So, okay, that's not so far-fetched. I think we can accept that one and live with that definition. Righteousness is not so much being in the right or having the right opinion or the right knowledge, and it's certainly not smug, self-serving self-righteousness. It's being right with God. It's living the way God wants us to live. It's doing the things God would have us do, because God will never have us act unrighteously. It's right living that spills over into right doing. The heavens declare God's righteousness, and so should we. One of the first verses in the Bible that mentions righteousness is in Genesis, in the story of the ancestor Abraham. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abraham's belief made him right with God. Abraham had previously worshipped the false gods of the people that were among whom he lived, but once he met Yahweh, the one true God, he was done with all those other so-called gods, and that was the right thing to do. It pleased God, and God promised to bless Abraham and his offspring after him for doing the righteous thing. It was a promise Abraham found hard to believe at the time because he and his wife Sarai, later Sarah, were older and childless. But it was righteous of Abraham to say, okay, God, I don't know how you're going to make it happen, that we will have children and a long-lasting lineage, but I trust you will do what you have said you would do. And perhaps that's righteousness there in a nutshell, believing and trusting that God will do what God has promised. 1 Samuel 26:23 says, "The Lord rewards everyone for his righteousness and his faithfulness." See, just like Abraham, we can receive an eternal blessing from God, for God's righteousness endures forever. Another ancestral example we have of one who lived righteously and was rewarded is David. David mostly walked before God in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward God. We know he had his lapses, we all do, but he always repented and got himself back on the right track. David said, "I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." So there is an element of steadfastness and righteousness. Job defended his own righteousness, his right living, as disaster after disaster befell him, and people insisted it was God's punishment on him for some unacknowledged sin. Job 27:6 says, "I hold fast my righteousness and will not let it go. My heart will not reproach me as long as I live." Job wore his righteousness like a robe, like a turban. It was always on him. It was there for all the world to see. He lived in a way that demonstrated he was upright and faithful and trusted in God. So did Abraham. So should we. Other ways we can demonstrate righteousness is by becoming fierce defenders of justice. Righteousness and justice go hand in hand. A lovely verse is Psalm 85:10, which says, "Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other." There are cautions and caveats and reminders that righteousness is not something to boast about. In Deuteronomy 9:5, as the Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land, God admonished them, "It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you are going in to occupy the promised land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is dispossessing them before you in order to fulfill the promise that the Lord made on oath to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." So you see, it goes right back to Abraham, and then it moves forward to Jesus, who told us in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Another promise we can grasp and rely on. We will be filled not with fruit-flavored Kool-Aid, but with God's justice and love and peace and power. We will be satisfied as we strive to live righteously and bring justice into the world. Ideally, we would keep Proverbs 8:20 as a guiding scripture for our lives. "I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice. For in the path of righteousness there is life," Proverbs 12:28 tells us. And the Lord loves the one who pursues righteousness. Proverbs 21:21 tells us, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life and honor." It is a lifelong pursuit for spiritual fruit. Hosea 10:12 fits right in with our focus for this year as we plan our harvest of righteousness. "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love." James 3:18 says, "The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So righteousness encompasses justice, love, and peace. It's a different kind of crop, and there's a different kind of harvest ahead. All the things the world could use right now, righteousness, joy, justice, peace, and love. God has already planted these seeds in us. We have to give them room and time to grow, and we have to water them with the same trust and faith that are the legacy Father Abraham has left for us, so that they can produce an overflowing harvest that we will bring to God one day. So let's make our ancestor Abraham proud. Let us serve others the life-giving, soul-nourishing, spirit-watered, Christ-blessed harvest of the fruit of righteousness, rooted and grounded in Christ and saturated with the living water that comes from Christ. We will not cease from producing fantastic fruit, real fruit, and a bountiful bowl of blessing that will never run out. Fake fruit is one thing, decorative and all that, but we desire the real fruit we can sink our teeth into and share with the world, not only because it brings honor and glory to God, but also because it's just too good to keep to ourselves. Let us pray. O God of righteousness, be with us as we reap the harvest of righteousness. Show us where to go, who to reach out to, always with gratitude for the ancestors who give us a stellar example of how we too can live in righteousness and give honor and glory to you. Amen.
Stand free.